lighting up the town. Peace on earth is all around. Everything is calm on Christmas Eve. There's goodwill in the air tonight. Angels sing by candlelight. Their voices carried on the wind. When carol singers gather round, when I hear that festive sound, I wanna join with them and sing. Sing a merry song, and we'll sing along a festive melody that tells us Christmas time is here. See the stars tonight, they shine bright, 'cause it's Christmas time, and it's my favorite time of year. Deck the halls with boughs of holly, give me mistletoe. It's a season to be jolly, wrapping presents, writing cards, helping decorate the tree. But there's one thing that makes it all for me. When carol singers gather round, angels' voices fill the town. It's like the world is joining in. We sing a merry song, and we all sing along a festive melody that tells us Christmas time is here. See the stars tonight, they're shining bright, 'cause it's Christmas time, and it's my favorite time of year. Christmas Eve, still believe, so excited, can't sleep. When the morning comes, church bells ring, and peace be. They sing a merry song, and we'll sing along a festive melody that tells us Christmas time is here. See the stars tonight, they're shining bright, 'cause it's Christmas time, and it's my favorite time of year.
And it's my favorite time of year. Adam and Emily for that rousing start to our service, and welcome everyone to this very special time of year. It's the Sunday before Christmas. It's our nativity service, and perhaps a nativity like no other. The nativity comes in three parts, and we have some people who are already in costume. And what I would like to happen, if it's at all possible, if those of you who are dressed up, after Mary and Joseph have introduced the story and had their little dialogue together, they're going to take their seat at the front of the church, in front of the crib, the lovely baby box that's been filled over and over again, it has to be said, during Advent, has now become the crib. I don't know if you're aware, but the baby boxes are intended to be the baby's first bed when families receive them from the government. It is intended to be the first bed, so it's going to be baby Jesus's bed this morning. And so Mary and Joseph are going to take their place at the front, and anybody who is in costume and would like to come and join and form a sort of tableau at the front, the rest of the service will follow on around. So if you do that and need to take a hymn book with you, because you're going to be there for the rest of the service. Few intimations that are not actually in your order of service. June just asked me to let you know with the Christmas lunch on Christmas Day, there's still space for one or two others to join. So if you've not got plans for Christmas Day yet and find yourself going to be alone but would like to be with some people, there's Christmas lunch at the Kirk Centre from 12 o'clock on Christmas Day, and you'd be very, very welcome. There'll be plenty for everyone. Following the service today, the Guild are providing the coffees and mince pies through in the hall, and the donations for tea and coffee today will be going to the Guild projects. And again, a warm invitation to anybody who would like to join us through in the hall after the service. Our services over the next few days are tomorrow evening. There is a Christingle service at 7 o'clock. But if you would like to come a wee bit earlier and help make some of the Christingles, that would be really helpful. If any children would like to come along and make their own Christingle, that's from about 6:30. But if anybody would like to come a wee bit earlier and help make some of the Christingles ready for folk as they arrive, that would be fantastic. I'll be here from about 6 o'clock. So if you're able to come and help, brilliant. Later on in the evening, our watch night service begins at 11:30, but there'll be some mulled wine and mince pies being served from around 11 o'clock. And then on Christmas Day itself, we have a short time of worship together at 10:30. So lots of opportunity over the next few days to join together in real celebration as we welcome the Christ child back into our midst. Our fourth Advent candle that was lit this morning is the candle of love. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of love. Love born in a manger, love born for all of us. The love of mother, father, young and old, love Emmanuel, love divine. Let us worship God. Our hymn is 294, On Christmas Night All Christians Sing. Come to God in prayer. Let us pray. God of new life, new hope, and joy that cannot be contained, you sent your angel messenger with good news to people unable at first to hear it because of the cloud of shame and fear that hovered around them, blotting out the light of your love. You lifted the burden of shame that Elizabeth had borne ever since she got married and failed to have a child. You told Mary that she had no need to be afraid. The child that she was carrying was a sign of God's blessing and not a mark of shame. You reassured Joseph that he could take Mary to be his wife without worrying that anyone might say, because you were with them and your spirit had come upon them to bless and not to blame. For once, O God, in this day of joyful anticipation, we're not going to bow our heads and confess our sins. Not that there are not plenty of them, but just for once today, we will lift our heads and open our eyes and see you looking on us with love. We will stop talking for a moment so that we can hear the angel's message. Don't be afraid. The Lord is with you. He is pleased with you. He has plans for you. Are you in? Like Mary, O God, we are often perplexed and confused as we try to fathom your ways. Like Elizabeth, many of us have lived most of our lives with a sense of failure, of not being good enough. Like Joseph, we want to do the right thing, but worry about getting it wrong. Take away these and all barriers to our glad acceptance of your grace, our joyful welcome of your Spirit, and our willing participation in your plans to bless us and bless others through us. Amen. The choir are now going to sing for us.
Is never going to believe me. He will think I've cheated on him, betrayed him. Maybe it was just a dream. Maybe I'll wake up in a moment and reality will dawn on me. And Dad will be shouting at me to get out of bed and come for breakfast. Yet somehow, I know it is reality. An angel appeared and told me that I was to become pregnant, have a son, and that his name is to mean Jesus. I don't think I really like the name Jesus. But the angel was adamant and claimed that the child is to be the son of the Most High God. How am I going to explain this to anybody? Lord, please help me.
I'll need to talk to Mary about the wedding. We need to set a date, start planning for the food, and check in that we have enough wine for everyone, as it would be shameful to run out of wine at a wedding. It'd be such a joyful and happy occasion for a family and the village. I'm sure Mary will be a terrific mother when we have our children, and I'll try to be the best dad that I can be.
That angel Gabriel called me the favoured one. I don't really know what he meant by that, as I've never been favoured by anyone in my life. I'm just an ordinary girl. There's nothing really special about me, and maybe I'm not the most beautiful of girls compared to some of my friends. If I am the favoured one of God, what does that mean? How will it impact on my life and the life of others around me?
I'm just so glad my parents seem to like Mary's parents. It should make our life easier if everyone gets on. My father has told me that soon I will be in charge of the family business, and that is important to work hard so that I can provide for my family whenever it comes along. I can't imagine that one day I will have a family of my own, and when I do, I hope I can be as good as my dad.
This is not good. Joseph did not take the news too well. I don't think he believed my story. He just sat there with his mouth gaping as I told him everything the angel said.
Mary just told me she's pregnant. I couldn't believe my ears. She told me about an angel and being the favoured one of God, and that this child she was having has to be called Jesus. I thought at first she was kidding me, but her face never betrayed a smile, and I was just so...
Joseph hates me. He didn't believe a word I told him. He just sat there speechless, gaping like a big fish. Then he just got up and left the room without saying a word.
Oh, Mary, what did you do? You were so sweet and kind and noble. You were a symbol of purity for me. You set my heart leaping when you smiled, and with a flutter of your eyelashes, you had me wobbling like jelly. I longed for the day when I would be the father of your children, and that they would call me Dad. Yet, now you disgust me a little with your swollen belly and a child that you carry that is not mine, and you know well enough it is not mine, and you won't even tell me who the father is. All this nonsense that an angel told you that this was God's child is just your dream and an illusion to avoid all the shame that you have brought upon me and our families. I just cannot believe that there is a future for us, but I don't know what to do.
Joseph is a good and noble man. I understand he must be hurting and fearful for the future. I hope and pray that he will stand by me, because I don't think that I can do any of this on my own.
Mary decided to leave town and visit her cousin Elizabeth, while Joseph stayed at home and wrestled with what he should do next.
Poor Mary, who's gone off to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Maybe Elizabeth will talk some sense into her. All this will bring shame on our families. Yet, what if this is true, and an angel really did speak to Mary? What if we have indeed been chosen to help bring God into the world? There'd be no shame in that, would there?
Elizabeth understood. She is also pregnant. Even though she's way older than my mum, she said her baby leapt in her womb when I arrived. She affirmed me and told me to trust God, that Joseph will soon understand.
I dreamt a strange dream last night. Like an angel appeared and spoke with me, told me not to be afraid and to marry Mary and to name the child Jesus.
And so it came to pass that Joseph and Mary had a son, and they called him Jesus. They loved each other and loved Jesus because of who he was, Emmanuel, God with us. We sing together hymn 304, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Silence. it out here. I was having a doze in the cave. Have I missed a lion?
Oh, Eunice, I don't know what to tell you. There was a sky full of singing scathars.
Oh, come on, Barbara. You expect me to believe that?
It's true, Eunice. Cross my heart and hope to roast. Have I ever pulled the wool over your eyes before?
Nope, I've got to admit you've never fleeced anyone.
Well then, do you believe me?
I'm trying to, but a sky full of singing stars?
That's what I saw, Eunice. Big, bright, brilliant baritones bursting with boisterous bellowing.
Forget the poetry, just tell me what happened.
All right, there we were. Barney, Stew, Agnes, Mint Sauce and the Mob.
How did he get his name?
Don't ask. There we were at the end of a quiet evening, spinning a good yarn, when all of a sudden the star pops up and starts speaking.
Well, I'll be sure.
No, he's away filming just now.
Oh, yeah. But are you sure it was a star?
What else could it have been? It shone, it was up in the sky, and it was beautiful.
But stars don't normally speak. And how big did you say this star was?
Oh, billions of miles across, if you count the gas cloud. But then it's hundreds of light years away.
No, you woolly wally, the one that talked to you.
Oh, well, it's hard to say. It felt really close and looked a bit like a human. But it could have been a world away in the size of a galaxy. You know how it is with size. Some things are small, some are far away.
Something from a world away coming close.
I mean, if you hold your hoof up to your ear, you can block out the whole Milky Way.
Something vast becoming human.
But anyway, it certainly was a special sight. Made my wool stand on end. You all right there? You look like you've seen a shearer.
Barbara, I think they were angels.
Wow. I saw something on earth that lives in heaven. Now that's something.
And angels are messengers. From heaven, from the great shepherd. What was their song about, Barbara?
Oh, something about good news from heaven coming to earth and, oh, about joy to all people. Well, I stopped listening about then. There was no mention of sheep. There never is.
Barbara, the great shepherd sent angels and you didn't listen. That's bad. Have you wool for brains?
Well, I didn't know it was angels. I just thought it was singing stars. That was enough to be amazed at for one night.
Looks like there might be more happening tonight, though. Look, the shepherds have stopped washing their socks. They're coming over.
Quick, look casual.
The shepherds must have seen the angels too and heard the message. I think we're heading down to Bethlehem. Maybe we'll find out what heaven was telling us here on earth after all.
Maybe we will.
Well, it's certainly snug in here, Barbara. We're fair rammed into the stable.
Yes, so many have herded in here to see the singing stars. Sorry, angels. See what they were on about. I just bumped into a donkey from Nazareth. He heard some strange stories.
What's brought him here? He's a long way from home.
He brought the humans. Well, he brought the big ones, the woman and the man. Something about taxis, I think. Though I didn't think a donkey was big enough to be a taxi.
Taxes, Barbara. I've been chatting to Chops from in town.
These townies, Chops, what kind of name is that for a sheep?
Tongue in cheek, I'd say. Anyway, he said that lots of extra humans have flocked into town just now. Something about paying taxes to keep the roads and water and soldiers. Including these two from Nazareth. They came late and had to sleep in the barn here.
I blame the donkey. He ought to have shifted his backside faster.
Anyway, that's not the most important bit. Chops says the most amazing thing has happened.
The singing stars?
Even better. Something else from a world away coming close.
Ooh, you've given me goosebumps.
Something vast becoming the size of a human.
What did he see? What did he say?
A little baby. That little baby over there. Just born tonight.
And you think that's more earth-shattering than a sky full of singers? I saw something on earth that lives in heaven. Now that is something.
That is something. But I think here in this stable is something even more amazing.
Yeah. How's that?
Here's something from heaven that lives on earth. Here's the Creator, made small and lying in a feeding trough.
Something from heaven, here on earth. You can't top that. We continue singing hymn carol number 296 while humble shepherds. It's Christmas time, and three camels that carried the Magi to Bethlehem that first Noel have come together to celebrate the 25th anniversary of that event. They've not seen one another since the Magi returned to their respective homelands so many years ago. During the interim, many changes have taken place in the world and in each of their lives. Each has grown older and hopefully wiser. They've returned to Bethlehem for one last time to share their memories of that fateful trip and wonders that they witnessed. Let's listen to their conversation.
You know, fellas, I didn't think much of this reunion idea at first, especially when an ordained voice said, "I have an idea." I spent a lot of time deciding if I wanted to make the journey again at my age, although I'm told the new is 40 or 30 or whatever. Now, I'm glad that I decided to come.
Me too. It was a lot easier this time without that 350-pound Melchior on my back. With all of the gold and heavy gifts he was carrying, it took all of the energy I had to get us here. Hassan, what have you been doing since we last caravaned together?
Since I've been retired from public life, I spent most of my time lying around, resting, eating, being groomed and catered to by the members of my herd. I do travel occasionally when the urge strikes me, no cost of course. I have my own stable, lots of staff to do the work, plenty to eat, healthcare and dental services provided. I'm set for the rest of my life whilst others pander and support me.
You're a politician. I always knew you'd run for office one day.
It's good to be the commander. Tell us, Bin, what have you been doing since we last met?
Oh, I drifted for a while, and I joined up with a troop of gypsies, travelling the countryside. I learned a lot about music and dance from them. We'd sit around the campfires at night, play music, and take turns entertaining one another. I do a pretty mean two-step for a camel, along with impressions of famous people. I sing some too. You know, my real name is Benjamin, but now I pronounce it Benjamin.
Very good. Don't give up the day job.
Hang on, I got my best line, yeah? Because that's what me do. Me pal Harry taught me. Say it right. Me a dromedary.
Very good. How about you, Ali?
Right now, I do consulting for a camel caravan service. When a large caravan is planned, they call on me to teach the new camels how to march, follow in a straight line, and develop their leadership skills. That was elephants. Anyway, our motto is, the view is always best when you're the lead camel.
I can testify to that. Being the youngest camel, I always was last in the line. Just imagine how things looked from my perspective. I had speed and ambition, and that's why I always tried so hard.
I guessed as much. When we were coming here the first time, I was second in line behind Hassan, with you following me. You kept crowding me, trying to get ahead on the narrow trail. I mentioned it to Hassan one time, and he asked me to look back at you and tell him what I saw. I told him you were speeding up and falling real close. Your nostrils were flared, your tongue was sticking out, and your right ear bent to the side, and your eye was blinking. Hassan asked me which eye was blinking, right or left. I told him the right, and he said, "Yep, better get ready. He's signalling to pass."
And I did too. But Hassan ordered me back to my original place. It's hard being a one-humper, dromedary. It's hard to get ahead in the caravan game.
The thing I remember is following that big shiny star. Navigation was easy after dark. All I had to do was keep my ears glued to the star. It was a long and difficult journey, cold at night and sweltering in the daytime.
There were lots of hills too. Sometimes I wondered why our riders were so determined to get to Bethlehem.
That's what that King Herod wanted to know, wasn't it? Remember how he kept us at his palace while they tried to get that information?
Yeah, fortunately Balthasar and others were suspicious and managed to sneak us out of there after dark.
I'll never forget our arrival at Bethlehem the following night. The star led us to a manger where a human child had been born.
Made me wonder too. I thought they were looking to find a king like Herod, not a baby. But I was glad to have all those heavy gifts on my back.
Do you remember how peaceful and quiet it was when we arrived? There was a sense of something wonderful in the air. It was like some great event had taken place, and we were the only ones allowed to see what had happened.
I felt that too. I remember the great joy that our riders showed when they first saw the child. It was as if that baby was the most priceless jewel they had ever encountered. I surely did. I was close to hear them talking. They spoke how the birth of this child had been foretold and that he was born to be a saviour for his people.
Did you see the tears in his eyes when they knelt down and offered their gifts to him?
I sure did. And don't forget the shepherds. They kept coming in a few at a time to worship the child. Oh, do you remember singing? I was certain there were shepherds or some others singing words of praise. Must have been my imagination. I heard Melchior say that this child was a king and would bring peace and love to the whole world. That's quite an accomplishment for so small a child.
That's for sure. I wondered what the Romans and King Herod would have to say about that.
Remember, a few days later, when they were preparing us to leave for our trip home, as evening approached, Balthasar took a short nap so he would be rested when we started home after dark.
That's when he had that dream, isn't it?
That's right. I heard him telling the others that he had a dream that warned him not to return to tell King Herod about the child.
Oh, so that's why we took a different route home. They were afraid Herod might harm the child out of jealousy.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if that child, born in a manger, really could come to be the saviour of the Jews, the Gentiles, and ultimately the world, as our owners believed?
It would indeed. Imagine a place of peace and love, a place without cruelty, wars, or hunger, a place where all creatures, even camels, would be blessed.
We have many things to think about, and it's getting late. Let's call it a night and get some sleep. We can talk some more in the morning.
Thank you very much to our camels. You're very welcome to stay in the stable where it's nice and cosy and warm for your wee snooze if you like. We're going to sing together, and we'll just stay seated this time. We'll stay seated and sing together, Away in a Manger, which is 512 in the hymn book.
Jesus, amen.
Continue with our offering. Let us pray. Generous God, in this season when giving is expected of us and can so easily become a burden instead of a delight, we give you thanks for the gift that you gave us in Jesus, the gift of your love, no strings or ribbons attached. Accept whatever gifts we bring today out of our full and grateful hearts. Amen. Our carol this time is 309 in your hymn book, Still the Night, Holy the Night.
Thank you.
Let's come to God once more in prayer. God, who surprises your people with joy, long after they have stopped thinking that anything could surprise them anymore. God, who puts huge responsibilities on young shoulders and watches proudly as they rise to meet the challenge. God, who confronts our every prejudice, calls out our hypocrisy and refuses to let anyone be shamed in your name. We give thanks for the good news of incarnation beneath all the fripperies of Christmas. We rejoice in your name with all who have benefited from new discoveries of science and changing attitudes and laws, usually in the face of religious opposition, to be able to have a much-wanted child. And we hold before you those who bear the pain and secret shame of being childless, as well as those who have children and cannot care for them, those who are under pressure to have children when it's not right for them, parents who have lost a child, and for whom Christmas is a time of grieving and not of joy. We rejoice in your name with young people who see a world of opportunity opening up before them, whose talents have been noticed and given space to grow, who do not have to hide who they are or whom they love, who are learning to believe in themselves because someone believes in them. And we hold before you those who are caught between other people's expectations and what they most need and long for, those who lack the most basic necessities of life, never mind opportunities to grow and learn and thrive, those who may have everything that money can buy but do not know that they are loved and worth loving. God of joyful surprises and breathtaking challenges, burst into our world, burst into our churches, burst into our lives, we pray, as you did long ago in Jesus. And may we be open enough to recognize you, brave enough to welcome you, and ready for the holy disruption that you will most certainly bring. Amen. Before we sing our final carol, can I just say thank you to those of you who have taken part in our nativity this morning. Apologies for the wee backwards and forwards with Mary and Joseph earlier on. It was completely my fault. I'd printed off what I thought was the entire script, and it transpires there was a page or two missing. So sorry about that, but well done, Mary and Joseph, for being quite so serene in it, and well done to baby Jesus for being such a good baby Jesus. And I just think it's just lovely that at the front of the stable, we not only have a centurion, but we have Superman guarding the stable. Absolutely brilliant. We stand to sing our closing carol this morning, 301, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Thank you.
May all the wonder never be used up. May the mystery of the story never be solved. May the light of the star never go dim. May the straw of the stable never be forgotten. May the song of Mary forever be sung. May the gifts of the Magi never be returned. May the alleluias of the angels foretold be heard. May the trust of Joseph never come to an end. May the journey of the shepherds forever be taken. And may the word of God that becomes flesh among us never be left untouched. May the telling of the story come alive for you today. And when all the words are spoken and you've had left tired and hoarse, may you still find one word waiting, now become flesh, love. May hope, peace, joy, and love be yours and those of you, to those that you love today too, and forevermore.